I was brought up in the Roman Catholic tradition, that wing of Christianity, which for the most part we believed that the Jews should be forgiven and that all sorts of people should see the error of their ways because we had the one true church. And there was theology even, and theologians to support this point of view. But I was more interested in prophets than who exactly owned the truth. And I can hear you say, well, what, your father ran a commercial business, a bookshop, and you were interested in prophets? Yeah, well, of course, prophets from a bookshop put shoes on my feet and clothes on my back. No, I'm talking about prophets in the prophetic sense. And for the most part, I was brought up with a sense that prophets were people who foretold, usually terrible things that were to come, and warned the people that they needed to mend their ways. In other words, prophets delivered a welcome warning. And not everybody had a prophet to warn them of dreadful things about to happen. I mean, nobody warned poor old Job that his life was going to disintegrate. Anyway, the prophets appear in every age. Every age has its prophets. That's the question is really, who's a prophet bringing valuable warnings and predictions? And who's a charlatan? Because as long as humans have existed, there have been people trying to build a reputation as a predictor of the future. So what about in the age of the internet? Who are the prophets of the internet age? Who forecast and warned what it would be like as the internet got going? And who did it well in advance of there being much internet around to guide them? Who did it through a mixture of imaginative construction and gut feel? And I'm sure one of the four prophets I'm talking about was good with data. Now, you know, I can't remember their names. For me, they're the most important people who've ever written about the internet or ever written about modern society. But I can't remember any of their names. What I can remember is the remarkable title they gave to their point of view in 1999, well before Mr. Zuckerberg was out of nappies. Not quite, but you get the point. Yes. The book, well, the book came later, but the activity that they engaged in became known as the Clue Train Manifesto. The Clue Train Manifesto. Now, there have been in loads of manifestos, not just the Communist Manifesto. There have been avant-garde manifestos. There have been the Impressionist Manifesto. And if I went to Google, I could get you a list, and I might appear. appear more knowledgeable than I am, but I have done it in the past, so just trust me that there are loads of manifestos. Also, I know that the writing of your own manifesto for yourself or for your work or both wrapped up together is one of the most valuable exercises that I've seen people do. So, putting together a manifesto seemed like a damn good idea to four guys who put it together through a virtual, well, I don't mean virtual communication, but communicating via the internet. I'm not sure if they used a wiki to do it, but to be honest, it doesn't matter. What emerged was 95 or 96 propositions, and they make for astonishing reading, and some of them have a few phrases from one or two of them have entered into common conversation, but nobody can remember where they came from. I have never had anybody come up to me in all the years I've been interested in communicating about and how the internet could be used for good and for not so good. I've never had anybody come up to me and say, "Paul, have you read the Kiltrain Manifesto? You really should, you know, that's well worth reading." I've had people come up to me and tell me, "You should read Seth Godin, he's fantastic. You should read Gary Vaynerchuk, you should read Chris Brogan, you should read Liz Strauss, you should read, you know, a whole host of people. You should read this, you should read that." But nobody's ever said, "Read the Kiltrain Manifesto." Now, I thought, first of all, that this was because I'm living in Ireland now, and books like and sets of ideas like the True Kiltrain Manifesto wouldn't really have got here in the early 2000s. I thought, well, perhaps it's because Ireland is outside the mainstream. And we might be in the mainstream as regards processing things for international companies and shifting data around the place, but in terms of intelligence about modern intelligence, Ireland has hardly produced an author worth reading. Cool, there's a hostage to fortune. But if there is an Irish writer about the intelligence of modern intelligence, let somebody recommend them to me. There are plenty of them in the United States, and for all I know, there may be loads of them in Japan. And I think there might be a few people distinguished by their ability to dissent from the American view in the United Kingdom. And I'm clueless about Germany, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, and all those European countries. So, what can I say? Except that the Kiltrain Manifesto is a dark hole into which few dare to adventure. And that's one of the reasons that for many years I have had it on my mind and occasionally out my mouth that something should be done to bring the Kiltrain Manifesto to the attention of a lot more people, especially in Ireland. You see, I thought everybody in the United States who was active on social media had read the Kiltrain Manifesto. Not only had read it, but had absorbed it and was living by it. until I started to ask, any chance you've read the Clutrain Manifesto? And I got sort of vague looks about, yeah, I heard of that, actually. So, of course, that may all suggest that the Clutrain Manifesto isn't worth reading. That things have moved on so much from 1999 that there really isn't any point in anybody putting themselves to the trouble of reading a book like that. In fact, there seems to be part of the modern zeitgeist is that the books that are really worth reading are those that you have a pre-publication copy of and that you can tell people that this is fantastic. But certainly if you haven't read the book within 6 months of it being published, you really have no business recommending it. Incidentally, there's one huge exception to all of this as far as I have come across, and it's two huge exceptions to this. One is Peter Drucker, and the other is Dale Carnegie. Anyway, we'll go off down a tangent if we go there. So, the Clutrain Manifesto. I found somebody who knows it. I found Greg Dixon over on via Anchor, an audio app which facilitates people to communicate with each other via audio. Doesn't do video, doesn't do pictures, can attach links, but basically it's an audio platform. So I've never met Greg, hardly ever seen a photograph of him, but he and I discovered that we both thought that the Clutrain Manifesto was relevant to a conversation we were having before we ever mentioned the Clutrain Manifesto. So, here goes the adventure, which begins with this piece of audio. The adventure is to explore the Clutrain Manifesto and see what happens. Actually, I mean more than that. I mean interrogate. No, I mean consume and interrogate the Clutrain Manifesto in order to see to what extent it's helpful in providing a fertile ground for a mindset which is gonna prosper in some way during the internet age. And that's about all I want to say at this point in time.